Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Senate Finance. It is Thursday, March 10th. We're going to go through some amendments on the CS that we have before us for the operating budget. To walk us through those amendments are the Senate Budget Director, Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, if you could walk us through these amendments one by one and explain the general CS. At the table are Senator McKinnon, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop,
morning.
Senator Michicki, and myself, Senator Kelly. Mr. Armstrong.
Through the chair, James Armstrong, staff. Senator Kelly, Senator, Mr. Chairman, do you want, there's the first eight amendments are intent language amendments. Do you want the individual members that sponsored them to address them, or would you like me to?
Let's go ahead and have a motion on these amendments, and then Mr. Armstrong, if you'll walk us through them, and if the sponsors have any additional comments, they can participate. So, Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Mr. Chairman, amendment.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Amendment number one, this past December, the administration implemented a essential travel ban, only travel that's for essential purposes. And thanks, Martin.
Some feedback coming.
And so this amendment, intent language, asks the administration to extend that essential travel ban till through June 30th of 2017.
Okay. I'll remove my objection. Are there other objections? Amendment number one has been adopted. Amendment number two. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number two.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number two just asks that the Department of Fish and Game establish programs that educational to the public about how fish and game funds work and Pittman-Robertson federal revenues are used as far as fish and game activities. And Senator Dunleavy can elaborate more.
Yeah. Senator Dunleavy, do you have anything to add to that?
I can just read a quick paragraph.
Go right ahead.
So. Basically, what it does is it educates the public as to how these Pittman-Robertson funds are actually used, and especially during this time of accelerated cultural transition from rural to urban, it's kind of important that the history of conservation, where the majority of the sport comes from in terms of these funds, and how these funds support the activities that benefit a lot of folks, even non-hunters. That's basically what this amendment will do, would be able to educate the public as to what these funds do for everybody.
Okay. Further questions or comments, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much money are we talking about in this particular case?
I don't know that because it's a Pittman-Roberts match, and it depends on how much what's passed in the budget in the terms of fish and game budget as to in terms of how much money we would get out of this fund to be able to do that.
Be DGF as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
For some reason we don't adopt this amendment, what will those funds be used for?
Other things outlined in the actual budget language.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Are there objections? I will remove my objection. Amendment number two has been adopted. Madam Co-Chair.
I move amendment number three.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number three, Mr. Chairman, is dealing with commercial fisheries. It's intent language. It asks the Department of Fish and Game to report back to the two finance committees with information on potential cost-saving measures concerning discrete stock fisheries management in Cook Inlet. I would defer to Senator Dunleavy on the explanation portion.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you. It's not to add, there was some questions that, in terms of cost. It's not to add any cost to the department. It's merely just to give us a simple report back to see if it's, there would actually be some cost savings if we use a discrete fisheries report approach as opposed to the current management that we have in Cook Inlet in terms of all of the fisheries. So it's just a simple report back with no intended cost to the department.
I am not moving my objection right now. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the department in favor of this amendment?
I don't know that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to remove my objection, but I'm going to ask the committee, are there other objections? Senator Machicki, do you want to speak to your objection, or do you just want to go ahead?
If I can, just a moment. When you're dealing with fisheries that have five species of Pacific salmon, and you talk about discrete management out in the field, although this says Cook Inlet, it's how YK fisheries are managed, area and Bristol Bay and Cook Inlet. Where discrete management occurs is as you get closer to the river system, if you don't have adequate return of a particular species, it's essentially how it's managed today. When you get the closer to the mouth, the more discrete management occurs. And I don't support the department wasting time on a study that would essentially turn the management of our fisheries upside down and have been the most successful on the planet, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments? Senator McKinnon?
I have a question either to the maker of the amendment or to the senator who's objecting. We're taking a variety of species or of populations, and they come into an area. Do we not count them already in distinct ways, and then Senator Dunleavy is asking for just to break that apart and report back to us, or is it just a total fish count for those more involved in fisheries that that every fish that comes through is a clicker and it's not counted as distinct? I don't know enough about this.
Madam Co-Chair, not being a coastal person, maybe I can answer that because I have kind of the same question you did, and as I understand, that if you have a discrete stock, that is the difference between how we're currently managing, particularly in the Cook Inlet, which is four red salmon. And then when you manage discrete stock, then you get down to each species. But that's what we're not doing, as I understand, within the Cook Inlet.
Yeah, and again, basically, it's not asking the department to devote a lot of time to this or a lot of resources, but just come up with what I perceive as just a simple report to give us some idea if it was managed differently, would that save money?
Yeah. Madam Chair,
it does answer my question. I can support the amendment if we're not asking the department to go out and spend a whole lot of money to do things differently, but if they can come in and let us know specifically in the Cook Inlet what's happening and why.
That's the intent.
Right, if we're not investing a lot of money to start counting these individually and changing the way we're managing the fishery, then I can support the amendment. Thank you.
Brief at ease?
Yep.
back on the record. Are there further comments? Is the objection maintained? Okay. Call the roll, please.
Senator Dunleavy?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Machiki?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Yes, four nays.
Oh,
Senator Kinnon?
Yes.
Okay. With that, excuse me?
Three nays, four nays.
Thank you. With that, amendment number three has failed. That brings before us amendment number four. Madam Co-Chair.
I move amendment number four.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to audible to this to the senator from the Matson.
Okay. Senator Dunleavy.
Sure. I mean, the amendment reads, it's the intent of the legislature that retaining the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission allocation under the Commercial Fisheries Appropriation is not the minister effect of commission statutorily designated budgetary or operational authority, autonomy or authority. And nor does it grant the Commissioner of Fish and Game or his designee any budgetary or operational control over the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. We heard this in our Fish and Game hearings, subcommittee hearings. It's the intent of the language to make clear regarding Order 279 that it's implemented. CFEC continues to work to streamline itself and make its operations more efficient. It still is independent and autonomous. Its autonomy is not compromised. The Limited Entry Act remains a controlling statute. The intent language is provided to retain CFEC's control over its own budget and statutory communications with the legislature.
Further objection? Senator Machiki?
Can I make a comment, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman? I'm very supportive of this amendment. It guarantees adjudicatory independence for CFEC, which was the struggle in this whole issue of streamlining that department. So I'm very supportive of this amendment.
So there are no further objections. Mine has been withdrawn. Amendment number four has been adopted. Amendment number five, Madam Co-Chair.
I move amendment number five.
I'll object. Purposes of discussion, Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number five asks the Wildlife Conservation Division within Fish and Game to engage in cooperative, collaborative consulting with non-departmental entities to increase orphan moose calf survival rates through expedited rescue, rehabilitation, and reinduction efforts. Further explanation, I will punt over to the senator from the Matsu.
This is intended to have no cost at all to the department in terms of using any funds. The idea is that weekends, holidays, that after hours, that there has been coordination set up with some of these moose calf rescue outfits to be able to still coordinate with them and still continue to make rescues when possible.
I'm removing my objection. Are there further objections? Hearing none, amendment number five is passed. Amendment number six is before us. Madam Co-Chair.
I move amendment number six.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number six is offered by you, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Senator Giesel and McGuire. It asks the commissioner of each department to prepare a report identifying those services and programs that can be privatized, including procurement, client services, human resource management, and auditing. And it asks the administration to provide those to the Senate Secretary, those reports to the Senate Secretary and the Chief Clerk by January 17th of next year.
My objection is removed. Are there further objections? Hearing none, amendment number six has been adopted. Amendment number seven. Madam Co-Chair.
I move amendment number seven.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number seven is just conforms to an amendment that was adopted in the other body a couple nights ago. It asks the Office of Management and Budget to reduce, quote, hollow receipt authority when preparing the fiscal budget for FY18. And that effort has been done in the past. We did not ask for this language in this FY16 budget. So it's just conforming to past practices.
I'll remove my objection. Any other objection? Hearing none. Amendment number 7 has passed. Amendment number 8. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 8.
I'll object. Mr. Armstrong.
This is another conforming. It is asked the Department of Environmental Conservation, when they're considering raising their user fees, to look at the economic impacts that such increases would cause. So it's just an economic analysis of the fee structure contained within the department.
Senator Machicki, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering what you had envisioned. I mean, I'd like to put some teeth in this. Do you, you just thinking this first year we make the suggestion and perhaps next year we give them some sort of a scale of how they impose fees?
If I may, I think that's, you would want to wait till next year. This is intent language. It's pretty difficult to put very sharp teeth in intent language. Mr. Armstrong?
We, through the chair, Senator Machicki, we had a joint DEC subcommittee meeting, and we looked at all the fees that they have and looked at ways where you could mitigate the GF impact on some of these fees. And Mr. Burns in your office, Senator Kelly, is working on some legislation with the department right now. So they had meetings Tuesday. And so we're hopeful we'll get something introduced that will look at this intent language.
My objection is removed. Hearing no other objection, amendment number 8 is adopted. Amendment number 9. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 9.
I'll object. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number 9 is, we did a little bit of this last year. Members may remember there was a certain community, and it's a reporting requirement that the Federal Aviation Administration had on rural aviation fuel and taxes. So we applied it to that one. That community has come forward that FAA wants it applied to many more communities, so it just expands how the Department of Transportation within their aviation component reports to FAA. So we're just adhering to federal requirements.
Senator Olson, as our resident pilot, do you have any comments?
Actually, I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
What's the result to the end user out there, whether he's a private pilot or a commercial pilot, as far as the rates that are not, what's the end result to the end user out there, whether private or commercial operation?
That's a good question. Is there somebody from the administration that might be able to answer that?
At ease. Back on the record, Mr. Carpenter, go ahead, state your name and affiliation for the record. And
yes, Mr. Chairman, Rob Carpenter, Legislative Finance Division.
Do you need another, do you need the question restated, or are you?
I think I have, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Senator Olson, the amendment is actually a net zero impact to the budget. There's no fee increases in the airport at all. This is merely trying to provide clarity in the budget of what is spent at rural airports and what is collected at rural airports and spent at rural airports for the FAA.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as we look at the net result, you're saying that at least from a revenue standpoint, it's net zero for the police. But what about the end user? Is he paying more in fuel taxes?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, at this time he is not.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
There are other benefits, or there are other consequences to what may be going on here, and I just want to make sure I got a good picture on it. There may be other benefits that are out there, like better, like money being going to maintenance of the airports as well. Is that affected, or any other benefits that are there that could certainly enhance aviation in some of these airports?
Mr. Carpenter.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the intent was entirely to show in the budget what is generated at airports and spent on airports. And it's entirely related to the federal aviation requirement that if you accept federal funding and construct airports with that federal funding, that the revenue generated at those airports must be spent at those airports.
Senator Olson.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
I'll remove my objection. Or is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 9 has been adopted. Amendment number 10 is before us. Madam Co-Chair.
Move amendment number 10.
I'll object. Mr. Armstrong.
Senator Kelly, Mr. Chairman, this is a technical fix to a funding source contained with Parks Management and Access. It simply uses vehicle rental tax instead of unrestricted general funds of $35,400.
I'll remove my objection. Any further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 10 is adopted. Amendment number 11 is before us. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to hold on offering amendment number 11 and 12.
Oh, thank you. Amendment number, is there an objection to, we don't have to have an objection for holding. Amendment number 12 is before us. Madam Co-Chair.
We're holding amendment number 12, Mr. Chairman.
And amendment number 13.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 13.
I'll object for discussion. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment 13 provides intent language to Section 4. It asks the governor to develop a plan using best practices to find efficiency measures to co-locate the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, the Alaska Energy Authority, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority in an effort to reduce administrative and duplicative services. I would defer to the Madam Co-Chair on the rest of it.
Madam Co-Chair, if you could walk through this.
Mr. Chairman, in working with the subcommittee on revenue, we were looking at enterprises agencies in our budget conversation last year, and I understand that the governor has proposed something similar this morning. Ours is a bit more specific, and that is an intent to save the state money. I believe the governor spoke in his press conference this morning on an executive order that would study and work to honor all contracts as we move forward. I think that the legislature, or at least the Senate, should support that effort. But we do have an underlying goal of reducing administrative overhead costs and eliminate duplication of services. So I think it will be in line to help support the governor in achieving the results he's anticipating.
I'm going to remove my objection. Are there other objections? Senator Hoffman, do you have a comment?
I have a question. Since this is going to be delivered to the co-chairs, what are the co-chairs going to do with the information?
Mr. Chairman, share it with the Finance Committee and the rest of the legislature.
Thanks.
I have removed my objection. There are no other objections. That amendment number 13 is adopted. We're going to recess until later today. Mr. Armstrong?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
No, once a year I always take this moment to...
Go right ahead.
No, not. I just always take this because my mom's watching, so I thought I'd say hi, Mom.
All right. With that, Mrs. Armstrong, hello from everyone. Thanks for your son. We are recessed. We are reconvening this morning's meeting, and we're going to go through a few more amendments. Should have a packet in front of you, amendments 14 through 21. And we can get right on this unless there's any other business to come before the committee before we get started. Hearing none. Amendment 14 is in front of us, offered by Senator Dunleavy. Can I get a motion?
I move Amendment 14.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead, Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a simple amendment, and it's not, and I repeat, it's not a spend, it's a transfer. What this does is it transfers $116,500 of UGF from the University of Alaska Anchorage and Mat-Su campus, transfers $116,500 from that campus to the Mat-Su Borough School District for the purpose of offsetting their cost in busing. The middle college concept, which it actually takes place in Eagle River, requires students from Mat-Su to be bused there from the Mat-Su Valley. Reason for this is when this concept was being developed years ago, the school district approached the local campus at Mat-Su, and the local campus at that time was not interested in having a middle college concept where high school kids can go, get dual credit, actually reduces the cost for their families as well as the state. And it's a fantastic program. We have a number of folks that graduate from that program with numerous credits, sometimes as much as 48 credits or more. And long story short, it's simply a transfer of funds to offset the busing.
Briefities.
Back on the record, Senator Dunleavy, there is something that in the Section 13 language below that may be a problem. The purpose of your amendment was to transfer money from the Mat-Su campus essentially to the school district campus, and I'm not sure the language there below in Part B doesn't just create an appropriation.
Yeah, just a brief at ease.
Yeah, we can get this fixed. Back on the record, Senator Dunleavy, I think your language might be right, but we're going to come back to it. I'm just going to roll it to the bottom, and then we'll deal with it later. Amendment number 2 offered by Senators Kelly and Michicki. Senator Michicki, can I get a motion, please?
I move amendment number 15, Mr. Chairman.
I will object for purpose of discussion. Go ahead.
What this does is it doesn't transfer any dollars. The House made a cut to the top tier of the highest income group for the senior benefits. We want to make sure, with that lens on of protecting the most vulnerable and needy, that this doesn't impact the two lowest income groups, the $250 a month and the $170 a month for the two lower income groups. This language is simply safeguards that it doesn't impact those two other groups.
Are there, I'm going to remove my objection. Are there further objections? Hearing none, Amendment 15 has been adopted. Amendment number 16, can I get a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment number 16.
I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 16 essentially restores the parents as teachers as well as best beginnings and parents as teachers both support parental choice and help communities, parents, and extend family, provide meaningful, positive daily interaction that build the young children's brains and lay the foundation for all future learning. What best beginnings does is broken down into two parts. Best beginnings essentially is a network of 30 libraries across the state that roughly affect 21,000 children ages 0 to 5 in 105 communities from Barrow to Metlakatla. As was pointed out by the American Academy of Pediatrics, parents should begin to reading their children at birth because children who are read to, especially before school entry, experience stronger parent-child relationship and learn valuable language as well as literary skills. And the second part has to do with parents as teachers. It's an evidence-based home visiting model that provides parent education as well as support to pregnant women and families whose children between their ages of 0 and 5 has been very successful in the past, has been shown by the evidence-based data that's out there. With that, I ask for your support on Amendment number 16.
Maintain our objection.
Okay. Call the roll.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Donahue?
No.
Senator Hopton?
Yes.
Senator
Cheekey? Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator
McKinnon? No.
Senator Kelly?
No.
Four ayes, three ayes.
With that, Amendment number 16 has been adopted. Amendment number 17. Can you get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment number 17.
Object.
Go ahead, Senator Hoffman, speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment has five parts to it. The Commissioner's Office, the Administration Services, the Facilities Rent, Commercial Fisheries, Unallocated Appropriations, Statewide Services. Basically, what this amendment will do will result in a reduction from the governor's budget of $2 million. The sum of that would be, the commissioner's office would be reduced by, from the governor's numbers by $244,200. Administrative services bring their total reduction to $500,000. Habitat to $200,000. Subsistence to $300,000. Wildlife conservation to $300,000. Comp fish to $400,000. And sports fish hatcheries to 55.8. This will be in top of the 7.4 reduction that the governor submitted in the FY16 management plan.
Comments? Go ahead.
Just maintained.
Okay.
Senator
Olson? Yes.
Senator
yes.
Senator
yes.
Senator
no.
Senator
yes.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
With that, Amendment number 17 is adopted. Amendment number 18. Can I get a motion, please?
Move Amendment number 18.
An objection? I'll object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, the Division of Legislative Audit is continuing their work on a special audit of the commercial vehicle passenger tax. The legislature will address the payment of these funds once the audit is concluded.
Okay. I'm going to withdraw my objection. Is there other objection? Hearing none. Amendment number 18 has been adopted. Amendment number 19. Senator Bishop, you want to move that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment number 19. Amendment number 19 restores three.
I'll object for purpose. Go ahead. There's an objection. Go ahead.
I was on a roll. Thank you.
You were. I was moved.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Apologize. Amendment 19 restores three of the five maintenance stations reductions in the governor's budget. Northway, Central, Chitna. All three are vital to Alaska's transportation needs, and I concur with the other two closures. It also reduces the PCNs by two for a total of eight in this add back, and the funding is coming from vehicle rental tax receipts to the tune of $1.4 million, and it's DGF funds.
Senator Bishop, I'm going to speak in support of your amendment. You and I have spoken about this a number of times, and you make a pretty good case that some of those distances are just too far if you have a snowstorm or something like that. And I am pleased that you did some work behind the scenes and found some other funds to support this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to remove my objection. Is there another objection? Hearing none, Amendment number 19 is adopted. Amendment number 20. Someone move this for me, please.
I'll move Amendment number 20.
Can I hear an objection?
Object.
Senator, or excuse me, Mr. Armstrong.
James Armstrong, staff, Senator Kelly. Amendment 20 removes eight information officers' positions spread throughout the administration for a total reduction of $518,700. Has intent language that asks the administration to absorb these positions within the office of the governor.
I don't remember who objected.
I did.
Did you? Do you maintain your objection?
I have a question.
Yes.
Just can you clarify that this is a reduction?
Correct.
In $519,000 due to those eight positions going away?
You're correct, Senator Machicki.
Yeah, it's a UGF reduction.
Thank you.
Is your main objection?
I remove my objection.
Other objections? Hearing none. Amendment number 20 is adopted. This is amendment number 21.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 21.
Mr. Armstrong.
Was there an objection?
Object.
Oh, good enough. Go ahead.
Amendment 21 appropriates not to exceed $650,000 from the permanent fund dividend to the Department of Revenue to perform a third-party eligibility analysis for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017. It also adds intent language for the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. Would you like me to read it? I can read it. It is the intent of the legislature that the appropriation for third-party eligibility analytics under this subsection results in sufficient savings to the state to surpass the amount expended, and that the fee amount not exceed 20% of anticipated savings. The Permanent Fund Dividend Division shall contract with a third-party provider to acquire the eligibility analytics services.
I would just comment that there are many programs available out there through contractors that will allow the Permanent Fund Division, though they have a system that they are fairly confident with, that are systems that are more modern and can spot fraud at a higher level. This is the same discussion that we got into over the Medicaid eligibility verification provisions that were in the SB 74, and they have been extremely successful across the country. We anticipate we should be able to save the state quite a bit of money from this action. Is the objection maintained? Senator Machicki?
Just have a comment, Mr. Chairman, that this $650,000 is that's the most we can spend, and that's required to deliver $3.25 million in savings.
And we expect the savings will be much higher than that.
Objections removed.
Thank you. Are there further objections? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Senator Dunleavy, go ahead.
We have a brief at ease.
Yes. back on the record. I'm going to pull amendment number, was it
14?
14. Back before us. As you recall, there was a discussion about where those funds were being directed and whether they were a direct appropriation or not. And Senator Dunleavy, and then if you want to just go ahead and comment as you will, and then we'll go to Lacey from Ledge Finance.
I was just going to say we should go to Lacey from Ledge Finance. Okay. I missed the step in the explanation. She'll do a much better job of it.
Lacey, could you enlighten us, please?
Yes. For the record, Lacey Sanders with Legislative Finance Division. The amendment before you guys deletes $116,500 of unrestricted general funds from the University of Alaska's Matanuska-Susitna College. It directly appropriates an equal amount to the Department of Education for payment as a grant to Alaska Middle College School.
Does that satisfy everyone's concerns? So amendment number 14 is before us.
I just want to reiterate, it's not a spend, it's a transfer.
I think we have to move that again. Is that correct, Laura? Oh, okay. The objection is withdrawn. Amendment number 14 is passed. Correct? Okay.
Can I have a brief at ease?
Yes. Back on the record, Senator Dunleavy, you have a motion regarding amendment number 19, which passed the committee. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to rescind my vote. Ask for a revote.
Are there objections to taking the action to rescind the action taken on amendment number 19? There is no objection to that. That means amendment number 19 is before us. Senator Bishop, would you move amendment number 19? Is it before us? Amendment number 19. We just rescinded our action without objection. Is that correct? Now it's before us. Okay, go ahead. Senator Dunleavy, you want to speak to your objection?
Just wish to put it to a vote.
Okay. So it's been moved. There's an objection. Now go ahead, unless someone else wants to speak to it.
Senator Kelly, there was no motion made to move it.
Yeah, it's before us. Before us, according to our secretary. Yeah. So now we need a vote. Go ahead, Laura.
Senator Chippy?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator
yes. Okay. With that, Senator, with that, amendment number 19 has passed. James, do we need to recess or adjourn? Get this question answered.
You can adjourn or recess. We're scheduled for tomorrow.
We're scheduled for tomorrow. Senator McChicky?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to clarify amendment number 16. It wasn't clarified on the record that this is DGF. It's not an add-in. It's from the Higher Education Fund. If I can just have Senator Olson or James confirm.
Go ahead, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is correct. The It's designated general funds. That's for amendment number 16.
Yeah. No. General fund or higher education?
I'm sorry. It's designated general funds. DGF.
Oh, designated. I didn't catch that word. Gotcha. Okay. So I think that's all. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Then we are adjourned until tomorrow.